Welcome to Natural Soul Conversations, a space where you are free to speak your mind, speak your peace, weigh in on what's going on in this world today. Every week, we have a new conversation about what's going on in our communities, how it affects us, and how we can step in and make a change. Or maybe not. Maybe we just want to talk our talk. Well, you have that freedom to do that right here at Natural Soul Conversations. All right? Come on in. Take a seat. Welcome to another episode of Natural Soul Conversations. I'm your host, Air Monique, and man, we got a lot to talk about today. It's this episode. Let me just start by saying this. This episode is going to be about music and my love for music and just how I see things in the music space, I guess you can say. So I'm going to talk about a lot of things. I'm going to end the conversation. It's not going to be an end, but it's going to be, most of the conversation is going to be about my trip to Detroit. But before I get there, I want to talk about some other things that are going on in the music industry. I want to start off with the conversation about Beyonce and John Snyder, that incident. I'm not even sure if I gave a good introduction, but I don't care. I'm ready to get into it. So I actually started this conversation a couple of days ago, but I was heated. I was worked up because of something I read and I was hot. And so I just had just a little bit of time to record my thoughts. It took about, well, I only had about 6 minutes, and I was going to come back and finish up with my thoughts, but I don't know. You start getting into other things, and I don't know, but I was definitely coming back to this conversation. And I also want to talk about, I want to throw Taylor Swift in there as well at some point, but so what got me worked up was, I'm going through my socials like I always do. And I'm not a big poster. And mostly I used to be when I was more so on Facebook. I don't post really at all on Instagram because it's too much. You gotta have an image and then you can put, it's just way too much going on there. And so sometimes, I should be on X, right? Which I am. But I don't know. It's just, I don't spend a lot of time on X. And for those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, I am referring to what used to be Twitter. I don't spend a lot of time there. I'm on there, but I don't spend a lot of time there. So, and then you're only, well, I think they have increased the number of characters that you can have in your post, but man, that's too much trying to pay attention, because I'm long-winded. When I have things to say, I got things to say. So, yeah, I started doing the podcast, and so that's where I kind of dwell mostly. Anyway, so I scroll through socials because, that's where I find topics to talk about and to kind of keep up to date with what's going on in various communities and societies and whatever. So anyway, I'm scrolling through and I see this little clip with John Snyder. For those of you who do not know who he used to be a character, or he is, on Tyler Perry's show, The Have and Have Nots. I never watched the show because that's another topic. That's a topic for another conversation. I've never seen the show, but I know that Mr. Snyder was or is on that show, if it's still running. I don't even know, but he was on that show. But for some of us old heads, he was the character Bo Duke on Dukes of Hazzard. And I'll admit, I watched Dukes of Hazzard. Who didn't? This was back in early 80s, maybe late 70s, early 80s. You know, there wasn't a such thing as being politically correct. So, of course, there was a car named General Lee with a Confederate flag on top and on the doors. Of course, I don't know if it's on the doors, but I do believe it's on the top of the car. But, you know, I didn't go to this school, but in my town, in my city, there is a school who had that Confederate flag as a mascot. So, you know, I'm in the South. I'm in Texas. Used to seeing the Confederate flag. Used to seeing it in the neighborhood, you know, and even playing with some of those kids probably. You know, so you're used to seeing it, you know, and we became desensitized to it, and it's events that have happened in recent past. And then some of us growing up understanding that racism didn't die, it just hid. So now, you know, we call out those who, you know, carry that flag or who support that flag. But anyway, I'm not going to lie. He was because, you know, there were four Dukes. There were the Bo and Luke Duke. And then when they left, I think it was Boyd and Vance. So I watched most of that show, most of the episodes. And then, of course, it was Daisy, Uncle Jesse. What's his name? Scooter. And then, of course, Boss Hogg. And gosh, I forget who his deputy was. Roscoe P. Coltrane. That's his name. It came back to me. But, you know, out of all of the Dukes, Bo Duke was my favorite. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm going to keep it a buck, 250. You know, he was my favorite Duke, okay? And I always had a little bit of a soft spot for Bo Duke, whatever. So imagine my surprise when I'm scrolling through, you know, my socials, and I see Bo Duke. I shouldn't have been surprised, but I see Bo Duke having an interview, sort of like I don't even know the name of the station because I'm just scrolling through, but it's kind of set up like Nightline. If some of y'all are old enough to remember Nightline, but it's kind of set up like that. But it's an interview with some lady, I don't know. And I guess it's a conservative platform. I don't know. I was just scrolling through. And so, you know, I hear the lady go, yeah, and Beyonce, you know, what do you think about her entering country music, you know? And she said it in a very nasty, condescending way. So, of course, you know, I stopped scrolling. I'm like, okay, what's up? And then Mr. Snyder says something like, yeah, you know, they have to mark everything. You know, it's like a dog having to mark everything. You know, it's not like, you know, Shania Twain and somebody else who were started in country went out. No, you know, that's different. But, you know, she's coming in, and I know a little something about country music. Oh, I was hot. I was hot. Now, if some of you are Gen X, maybe millennials, but for sure Gen X and older, and you grew up in the South, and I'm going to say, well, in my area at least, we grew up watching Hee Haw. We grew up watching Grand Ole Opry. I hated it. I'm not going to lie. I hated it. But I was exposed to it. And you can't help. You cannot help that some of that influence will seep into you. Okay. And even if you don't readily listen or you don't if that's not your music of choice, there's always going to be a song or three that is country that you're going to latch hold to, that you're going to like. Because that music is just, it's in you because it was forced on you by your parents or your grandparents, okay? And the grandparents, that's at least mine and almost every melanated person that I know, our grandparents, at least, if not our parents also, listened to country music. And I'm talking about that Western type of country. See, there's a difference between this poppy country music and Western music. It is a difference. That's what they listen to, that Western music, okay? So when he said he knows something about country music, you know, of course I went and I looked him up. Well, I already knew that he was born in New York City. What I didn't know is that he moved when he was 14 to Atlanta, Georgia, and he, you know, I guess lived there until he was 18. So that was about 4 years. So it still wasn't long enough to really, you know, he lived longer in New York than he did in Atlanta, but whatever. So then he gets hired on to do Dukes of Hazzard at 18, right? And he immediately starts doing, or somewhere around there, he started doing music. He got hired he got a recording contract to be a singer while he was on the show. That I think I knew that, but you know, I didn't really pay attention to it because I wasn't really into country, you know, like that, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, so he got a little recording contract and he sang and his songs went to number four and number one, blah, blah, blah. But see, here it is. See, I'm going to tell you something about marketing, okay? Of course his songs went to number one because he was on a number one hit show that ran every Friday or every, I don't even remember what day it came on, but it was a weekly sitcom series that he was on. It was like number one for years. So of course his song went number one. A lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with your talent or lack thereof. It's just the fact that you are visible to people. He was young. He was 18. Okay. 19, 20. Some might say that he was good looking. Okay. All of that played a part into him you having the number one or number four song. He didn't come up out of the trenches. He didn't come up, you know, really scratching and paving his way in the music scene. He did not. Okay. Now let's look at Beyonce. Now, granted, you know, they're running things. Her and her husband, they are running things, or it appears to that they are running things. Okay, but can't nobody deny that that woman has not put in work. Now, let me say this. I am not a Beyonce fan in that I'm not part of the Beehive. Okay, not at all. I appreciate her music. I appreciate her talent. I appreciate her work ethic. I appreciate that she pretty much is a genius, okay? But she's not one that no one holds a candle to Prince, okay? If you've listened to any of my shows, you would know, okay? I don't really get down with anybody, you know? Everybody's pretty much, I can't say they're all on the same part, but, you know, no one measures up to Prince. No one, not even Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson was phenomenal in his own right, but nobody, for me, matches Prince. Nobody. Okay. So that's where I'm coming from. So that by those standards, I'm not I'm not a fan. Okay. And I'm not a fan in a negative way, as in I don't like her. I'm not a fan of anybody because I'm only a fan of Prince, even at, that he says he's, you know, now that he's gone, even now, I'm only a fan of Prince. That's it. That's it. I appreciate other people's, other artists' music. So I do appreciate Beyonce. I appreciate her music. Okay. I appreciate her talent. Can't nobody deny what this girl, the type, the amount of work this woman has put in. Nobody. Okay. I know there are people coming for her, you know, and there's some claims that, you know, she got connections in dark places, and, you know, and she's connected with dark forces maybe, and, you know, and people in powerful and evil places maybe. I don't know. All I know is when I look at her as an individual and I measure her up, no one can deny she has put in work even before she hit the scene with this. In fact, I'm gonna put it to you like this. One thing that I've always had this knack for, and other people might say the same, but I can't speak for other people. I know, you know, what I have within me. I can see people and I can know right off the bat, okay, that person is going to be a star. That person is going to make it. That person is going to be this. That person is something that I've always had, okay? And when I first saw that, I don't even know how old they were when they came out with Destiny's Child. And the first song I remember hearing them was that, no, that's the first song I remember. And I remember, I mean, they were all great. I love the entire group, but I remember like focusing in, like it was like a laser point, like zooming in right on her. And I said, she's going to be something. Not that the other girls weren't, but it was just something about her specifically. And so I actually followed Destiny's Child. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I followed their career to watch her blossom because I knew it was going to happen. And so it wasn't a surprise that, you know, she went solo and she's doing all these things. I'm glad that, you know, it appears that the group and even the girls that left the group, that they all have some type of connection still. So I do like that. But I knew nobody can deny the amount of work she put in. Okay. And there may have been a strategy behind entering country music. You know, it may have been. So, I mean, I don't know. But you can't say that she doesn't belong there. See, one thing about music that real musicians understand is that music belongs to everyone, right? And when I say that, I mean this. If you are in the music for the right reasons, if you respect and honor the craft of music, then and you can appreciate it for what it is, then you can step into it. It doesn't matter what it is. If you are honest and true with the form, the music, then you have a place there. Okay. Having said that, we're not gonna just gloss over the fact that that Black Americans have been pivotal in every genre. Our influence is felt in every genre of music, especially American music genres, because we created all of it. I'm just going to speak on the music in America. We created all of it. You know, country music, when you really think about it, you know, there's a lot of bluesy and spiritual undertones. That was from Black people. And let's just be honest about it. Okay. This is not, I'm not going to apologize for what I'm about to say. We're going to be honest about it. Different people came into the genres that we were doing, just like they do today. And they, because they want to sound like Black people, or how Black people sound, or how Black people move, or how Black people articulate, or whatever, how they express music. They try, but many times they cannot duplicate it. They can't, or I shouldn't say replicate. They can't replicate it. They can't. And so you get this bastardized, watered down version of a music form that we created. Now that's just a fact. Okay. Well, that's just the truth as I see it. Okay. There are very few people that are non-melanated that can really express music the way melanated people express it. It's becoming more, I don't want to say trendy, but it's becoming more prevalent now, because, you know, that's now, as far as I can tell, that's the thing to do, to sound a certain kind of way so you can get into certain kind of music genres, right? You know, so they study, you know, the inflections and the runs and all this, instead of just, you know, singing. You know, one of the best singers, in my opinion, is, and I love his voice, and he sounds like him. He's not putting on any airs or anything, but I bet you he could sing any type of music and just tear down the walls. That is Steve Perry from Journey. He is one of my all-time favorite singers. One of my all-time favorite singers. Ever. 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 He's singing what is, and you can tell when someone is being truthful with the talent that's been given to them, right? And I know I'm going all off the, you know, in these bunny trails, but that's just how I do, okay? And I got a point. I'm going to wrap it back around or bring it back around. But anyway, you know, he does what he does, right? How about we just all do what we do, right? And we can be able to move into these different genres, but be truthful with your talent. Don't try to copy. That's the thing. That's what, I'm going to be honest with you, that's what Elvis did. And there is all kind of, you know, documentaries and accounts to prove that. You know, the way he moved, he was trying to emulate this female dancer who happened to be Black, okay? And, of course, he couldn't, for a lot of reasons, he couldn't do it exactly like her, because one, she's a female. But the other reason, he just didn't have that whatever, je ne sais quoi, whatever that is. So it came out the way it came out, right? And, you know, if you didn't know and you come late to the game and he's already has this big buzz, you know, you're like, oh, Elvis is cool. Look, he's cool. The Black people say he's cool, not understanding that he ripped off how he moved from a Black chick, a Black dancer, the way he sang. He ripped that off from a black vocalist, male vocalist. I mean, he smooth ripped it off, you know, and we listened to him like, oh, he's cool, you know, not knowing that he ripped it off. And then when you know it, you listen to it and you can see and hear and feel the difference. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is what Elvis is doing is like watered down. Now, I was a, you know, I liked Elvis Presley. You know, in fact, when I was young, so I was around, you know, when he was alive. I was very, 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 very young, but I knew who he was. And he was one of the musicians that I always wanted to meet. He and John Lennon. Those were the two that I wanted to meet when I was little. Anyway, I mean, you see, you know, it's watered down, you know. My point is, most, if not all of this music, we have heavily influenced it, okay? So to say or to imply that we wouldn't inherently know about country music, as John Snyder said, is a fallacy at best. I mean, it's a fallacy. It's not true. If anything, he would have more of a struggle trying to understand and trying to, because by his own admission, he hasn't done music, you know, since the late 80s, early 90s, whatever he has done seriously since then, music wise, has flopped. And if it's gotten any type of positive reaction, it's more so because of who he used to be. Okay. I mean, if we want to just be real about it, he's not putting it on the charts now I don't follow country music, so I can only say, you know, different, but I mean, like a Garth Brooks or whoever, Randy Travis or whoever else is out there. Cause I don't follow these guys. I mean, but even the new people, you know, the new artists, and there was a group, what was the name? It might come to me. And I just fell in love with that group. It's a country group, and their music, you know, it was in the country category, but it still had a little bit of a pop feel to it. I loved that group. I thought that they were a phenomenal group. I can't think of, it'll come to me. The guy is a little heavy set. I'm trying to think. Let's see if I can find out who he was. I can't think of it. And as I talk, sometimes I can't think and talk at the same time. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, it's just, and when I think about the way he's saying, I mean, there's a little bit of a twang there, just a little bit, but he was really just a high range, like a high tenor singer. The guy was phenomenal. Gosh, I can't think of the name of that group. Phenomenal group, you know, and there are other groups too that are, you know, some of these new groups, these black groups that are coming out. I just wrote my sister at Chapel Heart. I think it's three or four black chicks. And they sang Jolene. They sang Jolene. Saw them on, what show were they on? I think they were on Kelly Clarkson. I just saw like a clip. They tore that song up. They tore it up. Now, do they not know anything about country music? John Snyder? They tore that song up. And they had the twang. And I'm usually, that's like a turnoff for me. But like, it seems like they grew up that way. And so, you know, you can't, you know, if this is authentic to you, then okay. That's the one thing that I had a problem with K. Michelle. I'm not a follower of K. Michelle. I don't really listen to her music. I was excited, to be honest with you. I was excited when I heard that she was going into country music. And the reason why is because I felt that she was taking a chance. You know what I mean? Like she was taking a risk to venture into a music genre that, you know, that we have a low representation in. But then when I heard her sing, knowing, you know, she's saying, you know, hearing some of these other songs she's singing in here in the country music, it felt as though she was, and I guess it's what you're supposed to. I don't know. I just like things that are authentic. She is like, she thickened the twang part of it. I think I even talked about it or wrote about it or whatever. And it just, it immediately turned me off. Like, I was on board to really like what she was doing, but it was just so much of that. And it just felt, it to me, it just seemed, it didn't seem real. It didn't seem like it was her to me. And so I just, it just, it turned me off. And I just, you know, I want to like what she's doing, but I don't know. I just don't know. But I hear, and it's not because it's Beyonce, because I was really set to not like, in fact, I was set not to even listen to it. But how can you not hear it? Because it's every time you scroll up, somebody's playing it, it's on something or whatever. And I will tell you that I'm not trying to hear the song. I wouldn't download the song. It's not my cup of tea. But when I listened to her sing that song, that Texas Hold'em, honestly, and she's from Houston, Texas. I mean, come on. But honestly, I can't tell you how many songs I've heard that have that same kind of feel to it. I mean, it sounds like a Texas song, country song, you know, that I've heard, you know, and I don't know if this is a negative or positive towards her, but that I've heard many, many times, you know, not because I wanted to, but it sounds very familiar to me. Not that I'm not saying that the song, that it was copied or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it, like I hear the song and it's like, oh yeah, that feels and sounds familiar. You know, it didn't sound odd. Even her voice, it fit the song to me. It wasn't overly twangish. It seemed like it was natural to her. It sounded natural to me. It sounded natural. And so, you know, I really don't understand this whole thing, you know, this other than, and I hate to go there, but we will go there. You know, why is it that she doesn't know anything about country music when she probably grew up just like me and she's, you know, from a musical family, or at least, you know, from her parents to her, towards her, you know, they probably grew up the same way I did, same way a lot of Black people did in our age group, grew up listening to a watching Hee Haw, listening to Grand Ole Opry, listening to country music, you know, going into town, because that's what we called it back then. You know, when you go shopping, going shopping was to go into town. Okay, which was usually downtown, which was usually, in my case, it was only 10, 15 minutes away, but that was going into town, right? And you listen to the country music or whatever. That's what the mall people listen to. That's what they listen to. You know, maybe up north, they listen to something different. We're going to have that conversation in a little bit. But that here in the South, in Texas, that's what they listen to. I'm talking about the grandparents. That's what they were listening to. So how is it that she don't know country? That's what John implied. I know something about country music. You know what? And so do a lot of us. We know something about country music too. And we know some, you know what fits and what don't fit. And bruh, you haven't even had a song, and who knows whenever, and whatever song you did have, it had no kind of commercial appeal at all. Okay. And what you did have was a byproduct of the show you were on. Let's just be honest about it. Okay. I don't get it. And why can't her song be played on these country stations? It's a country song. Play the song, period. That makes me think that there's something else going on there. That it's not just about the music, which it should be about the music, but it's not about the music. It's about the person, the face that's singing that music. That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like. And then these coded words, the leftist. Why don't you just come out and say blacks? Just say Black Americans. Just go ahead. you will feel better. Just say what you really want to say. Because what's so funny about it is that when we talk about conservative values, I think you will find that more Black people that have conservative values than liberal, if that's what you want to say, values. And the only reason why many Black people side on the side of liberals is because of the blatant, which, you know, if we were really about it, we would leave both sides alone. I mean, that's what I do. And that's what the people that I communicate with and network with, we don't mess with either side. Because it's like, it's really a demon of the, you know, how would you say it? It's like it is a demon, but I wanted to say like it's a demon. It's like you have a coin. It's the same coin, but you have a different face on either, just like a regular coin, but it's the same. It operates the same. It spins the same, right? That's what it is. And, you know, these people, they make these little racist comments and they hide it under terms like the left or leftists or whatever. But when they really mean, because they're talking about Black people a lot of times when they say that, what they really mean is those Black people. That's what they really mean. Just be bold and just say it, okay? Because that's what you really, 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 really want to say. So let's just say it. You know, I said I would bring up Taylor Swift. I really don't want to talk about her, to be honest. I was going to talk about her, you know, just kind of drawing, you know, a comparison, if you will, between Taylor and Beyonce. They seem to be friendly towards each other, which is great. Both of them have put in work. I'm not going to take anything away from Taylor. She's put in work. She showed that she had a musical talent at a very young age. And so that was nurtured. Her family was in a position to help nurture it. That's great. So was Beyonce's. Taylor's family moved to Nashville. If you want to learn how to write, and I would say not just country music, but any type of, if you want to learn how to write, that's the place to go. Now, I say this being from born and raised in Austin, Texas. Austin, we have the moniker, I guess you would call it, the motto, what do they call it? Live music capital of the world. That's what it's called. The live music capital of the world. And back when I was really working towards getting into the scene, breaking in, you know, I just never, I would hear that phrase and I just never really understood it, even because it wasn't, you know, even being born and raised here, I never understood it because you only found certain types of music. You could only hear certain types of music. Now it's opened up a little bit more so that, you know, I mean, I wanted to hear R&B. I wanted to hear, you know, back then hip hop was start or rap was starting to emerge. So I wanted to hear that. But, you know, that was considered violent music, so you didn't have any of that. But it was very funny because you could hear, what was that? You could hear punk music. What's more violent than that? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, what's more violent than that? You know, but you would hear blues, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, you hear blues, country music, okay? Country music, all right, and a little bit of rock and roll. That's what you would hear. Maybe if you go to some of the churches, you know, some gospel groups, maybe, you know. You know, it's interesting. My dad, and this was before I was even born, though. The only reason why I know these stories are true is because when I was in high school, junior high and high school, my teacher, one of my music teachers, my saxophone teacher, he was in a band with my dad when they went to high school together. He was a couple of years older than my dad. They were in a band together. My dad plays drums and my teacher plays saxophone, obviously. And then I don't know what else, what the other makeup was, but they had a jazz band, like a real jazz band. And they would play up and down, I think it was 11th Street, 11th and 12th Street. That was like, you know, I would say what is 6th Street today. I don't even know what 6th Street is now because I don't go downtown for nothing. So, but back in the day, you know, that was where, you know, you would go to play. You go to play on 6th Street, you know, and there was a whole bunch of clubs, bars, and you would just, you know, you play there. But the entertainment district, from what I was told, was on 11th and 12th Street, you know, the Black Entertainment District. And my dad and my saxophone player would play, you know, all those little bars and juke joints is probably what they were called back then. But, you know, I never bought into that whole moniker though, because by the time I came along, those jazz bands, you would hear them, you know, in you wouldn't hear them downtown or on 6th Street, and nothing was happening on 11th and 12th Street. Not really. There was, you know, one or two little places, and you might be able to hear something there, maybe. And when I say something, I'm talking about like urban R&B, not even R&B, but jazz music. You might be able to, or the Black blues players, because they didn't get to really play on 6th Street. You had the white players. I'm not putting a color on this. That's how it was, okay? And so, you know, the Black players be on the east side, okay? And so, but I never bought into, you know, the live music capital of the world. I just never did. If you want to develop yourself as a songwriter, Nashville is the place to go, period. And so, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, she was groomed there. You know, she had an artist management deal. I think that's what it's, no, artist development deal. And they groomed her, you know. So, of course, she's this, you know, this powerhouse today. Of course she is, because she was groomed to be that, you know, of course, Beyonce is Beyonce because she, I don't know how much actual grooming, but it, you know, I'm sure there was a level of grooming as well, but I know she put in the work. Both of these women put in the work. You know, it's just very interesting to see, I don't know, watch them, you know, play out their art. Because it's almost like they go tit for tat, you know. And on the surface, on the outside, it kind of looks like they're competing with each other. But I don't know. I don't think that they are. They just doing what they do, you know. I think they're just doing what they do. I will say this. When I see Beyonce, I see her performing a lot of firsts, you know, I mean, things that you've never, like, I look at Taylor and she has these huge concerts, right? But I don't really see anything where it's like truly innovative. I hear that she takes care of her people. I like that. She takes care of her people, the crew and all that. What I see with Beyonce is she does a lot of innovative stuff, you know, like she reminds me of Michael Jackson, because that he did a lot of. Now, I know earlier I said that Prince, that nobody tops Prince, and I stand by that. I stand by that, because I'm looking at it as he, as a musician, as a, you know, a reading and writing musician, okay? But somebody, you know, a performer, you know, somebody that's creative in a different type of way. I mean, Michael Jackson, hands down, you know. And let's just be honest, Beyonce is this generation's Michael Jackson, you know. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't know. I don't think they compete with each other. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But if you guys see John Snyder on the street, like, don't mess with him. But just tell him, you don't know country. Just tell him, you don't know. No, don't do anything. Just say God bless you and walk on. Don't do nothing. Don't mess with that man. But I'm saying, you know, for you to say that, and country music, you know, there's a lot of racism in it now. But, you know, real, honest, and true country, because that was the music of the poor man. You had those black Americans, you know, of course they were poor. And then you had the poor whites, okay? And they would come over, you know, and they would try to, you know, interact and listen to, you know, that music that was being played, and they would try to join in, and they would take it and mess it up, you know. But this is, you know, this is work, the working man's music, you know what I mean? I mean, this is, you know, and for those people who have taken that genre and have, you know, politicized it and put, you know, race on top of it, shame on you. Like, for real, shame on you. Because music was never meant to divide. It was always meant to bring people together. And that's a fact. Let's talk about my trip. You know what? Today is the 20th. It is exactly 1 month since the concert that I went to. My first concert, in fact. Well, can it be my first concert? Well, it is, because I've never been to a concert. I've seen a lot of live shows, but like live bands, but I think that's different, because these are just people, these are musicians getting up on a stage and they're playing blah, 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 blah. I did that, you know, whatever. It's different than seeing a concert. And he had a record label, and I worked with him alongside his record label, and I did a lot of the marketing stuff. And I did attend that concert, but that was because we were working. He was wasn't headlining. He was opening up for Ginuwine. Ginuwine wouldn't know this because whatever. I mean, he's had a lot of people open up for him. But the guy that I was working with opened up for Ginuwine here in Austin. And I was working with my friend who opened up. And I was working. I wasn't attending the concert, you know what I mean? I don't even remember the concert, come to think of it. It was so many years ago. I must have been 26, 27, 25 even. I am twice that age, and then a couple of years. Anyway, so I can't say. And then I did one other concert when I was in college. Take Six came and they performed. So that was a concert, right? But I worked it. What did I do? I think I was on the setup crew or whatever. I don't know. But I got to go to the concert because I was part of the, you know, the crew. But I worked it. So I don't really see that as me going to a concert. It's not like going there for the sake of going. I was supposed to go to the Angie Stone concert, but that was like outside, you know, and we didn't make it anyway. And that was my fault. You know, we didn't make it. But anyway, so this was like my first real concert, right? And I planned for it. I was going to see this artist. It was like a little mini tour that she and her friend put together. And, you know, they had these, you know, different cities that they were going to hit. And one of the cities that she was going to hit, or that she did hit, was Dallas. And that was, you know, towards the beginning of this whole little tour. And so I was going to do the Dallas show, right? Because I'm not down the road, but I mean, you know, I'm down the road, you know, I'm like 3 or so hours away. I could have driven there, you know, or flown, whatever, but it was on a Sunday And, you know, listen, I'm still a working person. I went back into the traditional workforce about a year and a half ago. And so I got to walk, chalk the line, you know, I mean, I can't just be, and it was still really early, you know, in my employment. And so I didn't have time to take off. Like I hadn't earned the time to take off. So I couldn't take off. And I know a lot of people probably would have just called in sick. I don't do that. You know, and that's not true. When I was younger, I probably would have done that. But now I got things that I'm working on that I'm trying to accomplish. I don't have time to be messing around. So I couldn't go. It was just no way. I couldn't drive there and get back in time. I couldn't even fly there and get back in time because it was on a Sunday. So, you know, I looked through, you know, the itinerary, and I saw that she was going to have she did have New York, but that was not the one I was going to go to. I saw she was going to have an L.A. show, a Los Angeles show. And my sister lives in L.A. And so I thought, well, I wasn't going to go. I mean, I wasn't going to go stay with my sister because we found this out recently. We can't stay in the same place. But anyway, but she, you know, we talked about it. And I was like, you know, I like the idea that she's doing this. You know, she's creating this tour, you know, she's, you know, putting her money behind it. You know, I think this is cool. You know, it's a business. And, you know, I'm all about businesses and I'm all about black owned businesses and I'm all about female black owned businesses. And so I was like, you know, this will be cool to support. You know, I really want to support her. So I'm thinking about maybe doing the LA trip since I can't do the Dallas one. And my sister goes, you know what? That's a good idea. So she gets online. And she buys one of the last tickets that's left, right? How do I know? Because she calls me. She goes, okay, I got a ticket. It looks like it's a pretty good seat, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Well, then, since you have decided, because she wasn't even going to go. And so we were talking it up. And then I talked her into going. So right then, she got online and she bought her ticket right then. She goes, I just bought my ticket. This looks like it's a pretty good seat. It was only this and that and the other, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, maybe I should go. I can go to I've never been to Los Angeles. You know, I mean, I've been to places. I've just never been to Los Angeles. And I thought, you know, okay, well, maybe I should go to the Los Angeles trip. And it was like on a Saturday. It was on a day, it may have been a Friday. It was a day that I could do, right? And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I go online to order a ticket, sold out. And it hadn't been maybe 30 minutes since my sister bought her ticket. I'm like, oh man. And so I get on the phone like, man, the tickets are sold out. I can't buy a ticket. She was like, I just bought mine. I said, I know. There are no more tickets. She was like, oh, man. And I said, well, I really want to support her. And I said, but you know, I've seen her show like I don't know how many times because, you know, people be doing what they're not supposed to do, which is recording the show and putting it on YouTube. So I had already seen the show like many times, right? But I wanted to support, right? So, I said, well, which show can I go? And so I looked through the whole itinerary and I see Detroit. And I said, I've never been to Michigan at all. This is going to be in January. It's going to be cold. It's probably going to be snowing. That's a different kind of cold. I'm from the South. I'm from Texas. I don't know weather like that. I don't know. Some say, just go ahead and go. Do something different. Do something you wouldn't normally do. Because I normally would not do that. I said, okay, this is a time for first concert, first time being in Detroit, Michigan during the winter time, you know, first time doing flying first class even. Yes, I did that. And I'm going to tell you why. The only reason why I did first class and the only reason why I will only do first class if I have a choice going forward is for the room. It has nothing to do with putting on airs or the amenities or anything because the food was lackluster, okay? I mean, the plane, both of the plane, the one to and fro, to and from. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it, you know, those are old planes, whatever. So, I mean, you know, it was as clean as it can be, I guess, but I, you know, it wasn't anything special. I'm just sitting in the front of the plane, you know? So I wasn't tripping like, oh, I'm sitting first class. No, it was the space. Cause let me just be honest, you know, so I'm a big girl now. Yeah, I'm a big girl. And, I can fasten the seatbelt, but it's a struggle. It is a struggle. I can get it, but it's a struggle. And then even though I'm not tall, like I do like my legs to kind of stretch out a bit, right? And so I need the space. So that's the, and I don't want to, because I'm a big girl and I can, you know, I can barely get that, you know, seatbelt fastened. You know, the seats are not as wide as I would like them to be. Okay. And so, you know, my arm's on the armrest and then the other person's arm on the armrest and we touching each other. I don't know them like that. I don't want to have that kind of connection at all, at all. So that's why I will only, if I have a choice, go first class. That is absolutely the only reason. I don't care about anything, that other stuff. I mean, like I say, the food was really, it was not all that. Okay. And so what? I got fed food. I got, you know, I mean, it's, they served it on real, you know, dinnerware, you know, on a real plate, real utensils, you know, fork and knife, real glass, you know, my soda was in a glass. I don't care about that. You know, I mean, okay, whatever. I don't care about that. But no, these was just some first. So I go to see Tamar Braxton. Okay. And, you know, there is something else I want to talk about. And this at the end of this, and the Tamar just brought that to mind, but, I'll wrap up the conversation with it anyway. So I go to see Tamar Braxton and, you know, I decided, like I said, to go to the Detroit trip. The Detroit was the very last, show on the itinerary. And, it was, all of the other shows, all of the other dates were, in, you know, in the year 2023, it was last year. And this was the only one that was, scheduled for the new year. So I don't know. And then, you know, there are some things that have been, you know, I listened to, I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to say, you know, our world is changing. You know, it changed, you know, when 9/11 happened, it changed when COVID happened. And it's changing again. And so we don't know what that time frame is or what that change is going to be. But it's going to be a major change, just like those two. Like things will not be the same. And we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I hope things don't change while I'm, you know, not at home, you know, while I'm out here trying to get my life out here, you know. So anyway, so I started to plan my trip, you know, and, you know, I'm getting excited because I've never been to a concert before. And I knew that the day before on the 19th, I knew that Shantae Moore was going to be at that same venue. Okay. It happens to be at a hotel that has a casino in it. In a soundstage, you know, or a performing center in it. And so, you know, I thought about it and not that it was too expensive, but it was expensive, the rooms. I could have gotten cheaper, but here was my thought. I was like, you know, if I stay in the hotel, I don't have to worry about transportation, especially if it's gonna, you know, it might be, you know, it might snow like for real. And I'll have to worry about, you know, getting transportation or getting stuck somewhere. You know, if I stay at the hotel, where the show is going to be. All I have to do is worry about getting from the airport to the hotel and then from the hotel to the airport at the end. That's it. So save your pennies and stay there. So, you know, I'm checking out the hotel and everything. That's when I found out that Shantae Moore is going to be there. And so I thought, you know, I could go, and the plan was always to get there a day before, because I felt that, you know, if I had waited until the 20th, the show was on the 20th, if I had waited to take a flight to, you know, on the same day, then I would have to be worried about getting, you know, getting there on time. You know, what if the plane gets delayed? Check in and then get ready. And then, you know, if I wasn't at the same hotel, getting to the hotel, and then, you know, I don't know how late the concert is going to go, because remember, this was my first concert, so I don't know. And then getting back to the hotel room if I'm not at the same hotel, and then trying to get up the next day. It was just, you know, to me, in my mind, it was a lot. So I said, you know, if I get there a day before, if there is, you know, any type of delays with the flight, then I, you know, I have a whole day to, you know, we have a whole day to figure it out. Right. And if there's no delay, well, then that's fine. I can use the 19th, just, you know, kind of chill, you know, maybe do some sightseeing. I was going to go to Canada because it's like right there, you know, but it was snowing. I wasn't going nowhere. It wasn't even snowing that bad. It was just like, you know, but we only had snow in my lifetime, like for real, for real, for real, in 2021. Now, you know, I think it was in 1990 something something on Valentine's Day, it snowed, and it was maybe a foot of snow. But what happened in 2021 was serious. That was like feet of snow. It was crazy. Anyway, I did go out then, but the snow was starting to melt. It wasn't snowing. It had already snowed. Snow was melting. So there you go. I was not going out there in Detroit in the snow, not knowing if it was going to be like a serious snowstorm and getting stuck somewhere. No. So I didn't go to Canada. I didn't even leave the hotel. There was enough to do. I went to the casino and, you know, and I didn't gamble a lot of money. I was going to do $50. I did a lot less than that because, you know, I'm not a gambler. And I didn't know how to play any of those games. So, you know, so anyway, so I'm planning the trip and I know that Shantae Moore is going to be there. I had not planned to go because, you know, the reason why I've never been to a concert is because I just really don't get down like that. You know, I don't need to, like, I see it as an experience, or I envision it as an experience. And, you know, you have people talking, you have people, you know, standing in front of you, can't see, you got people singing off key, you know, and it's like, you know, it's too much like stimuli. You know, it's a lot of energies that's going on, you know? And so I thought, you know, I'll just have enough for this Tamar show. I don't know if I'm going to have enough for Shantae Moore. I just don't know. So anyway, I had not planned on doing her show. I finished making my arrangements and, you know, the day of the 19th, you know, I drove myself to the airport. I parked and paid, park and flew, I guess is what you call it. I didn't want to take an Uber or a Lyft because I stay so many miles away from the airport. Like I don't live in Austin. I live 30 miles north of Austin. And, you know, it was just going to be like, I don't know, $80 to take an Uber or a Lyft. That was just crazy. That's crazy. And so I drove myself. And, you know, my Okay, so I would pay what, $160, you know, to take an Uber there and take an Uber back, you know, after I, you know, I come home, right? Or I spend, I think I spent $60 to park my car. I chose to park my car. Yeah. Anyway, you know, I had to take, so here's the thing. I don't like, it was a nice hotel. It was in an old building. I thought the hotel was old, but no, it's a new hotel in an old building. It used to just be, it was, the guy said it was the Wonder Bread Factory. I think that's what he said. It was the Wonder Bread Factory. And then they turned it into a casino, and then they added a hotel in the casino. So the building was really old, right? And so it just had this weird smell to it. I don't know. But it didn't matter. I cannot sleep in the covers on foreign beds, on beds that are not my own. So I took my sleeping bag, right? So I used to, when I used to, you know, do a little traveling, whatever, I would always take my sleeping bag because I've had this little condition for a while. I would take my sleeping bag, but there was a way that I used to secure it to my rolling bag, you know, rolling luggage bag. It's the same luggage bag, but it's been decades now, seems like, that I've done anything. So I forgot how I used to secure this sleeping bag. So while I was packing, I was running out of time. So I just packed my sleeping bag, right? So it didn't leave room for, you know, my clothes and my shoes. I made it work, but it was tight. So my bag was heavy. It was heavy. So the worst part of my trip was lugging this bag, this, you know, my luggage. Just, yeah, it was the worst part of the trip. It was heavy and, oh my God. Anyway, so get on the plane. Plane was nice. I didn't get first class going to. I got, it's like the row right behind first class. I think they call it, it's like the comfort. This is Delta. It's like the comfort one section. So I got that because it's all about space. All about space. So I got that. And it was cool, you know, and then I get to the airport, long walk to the Uber section. It was a long walk. It wasn't that it was a long walk. It's just my case was heavy. It was horrible. And so I Ubered or Lyft. I took a Lyft, actually, to my hotel. Again, the hotel was old, but I mean, it was nice for what it was. It was nice. And so, you know, I unpacked, of course, and I took a shower because, you know, I've been in a couple of airports and airplane, you know, and whatever, you know. And so I needed to get all that grime off me. So, you know, took a shower and you know, I just kind of walked around, you know, the hotel, or I guess the casino, because I guess that's what it is. I don't know. So I walked around the facility and went into the casino. The casino is like two levels. It is huge. And I don't know. I played a little. I gambled a little and lost all of the money that I decided I was going to gamble with. And I was okay with it because I didn't know what was going on and I wasn't adding any more money, you know. So, you know, I was kind of walking around looking at everything, looking at the shops. You know, they had a spa, but I just missed the spa. And, you know, I'm just checking out everything. And I decided to, you know, just kind of chill a little bit. And I talked to my sister, letting her know I got in and, you know, how things were going. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm really tired. But, you know, Shantae Moore is going to be here tonight. But I'm going to go to bed. And she goes, Shantae Moore, you should go see Shantae Moore. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I knew she was going to be here, but I don't really want to go. I'm tired. She's like, what? But, you know, she's phenomenal. And Shantae Moore is phenomenal. And I knew that even before I got to Detroit. But like I said, I didn't know what my energy levels was going to be. And I was like, And the tickets were like, I mean, it was like, I don't know, $30, $40, you know, and I was right there. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, come on, you should go. You should go. And I thought about it and I was like, you know, this is a one in a lifetime chance. Well, right now it is. Why not? Like, I'm not doing anything. And yeah, I'm tired, but I love music. So as soon as I get in there, it's going to be on and rocking, you know. And so I was like, yeah. So I go buy the ticket. And, you know, I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I haven't eaten. I'm kind of hungry. And I was, you know, so I asked the ticket lady. I'm like, you know, how is this going to work? Like, I really want to eat, but, you know, the show is about to start. And she's like, you already bought your ticket. You can go grab something to eat and then you can go in anytime because you already have your ticket. In fact, you could even eat in there. You could take your food and eat in there. So I'm thinking, oh, they have like a little table in front of you. You know how you pull out the little table in front of you. I thought it was maybe something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, I grabbed my food. I went and bought food. I went upstairs and I got completely comfortable because I'm in the hotel. So I'm walking around in sliders. I don't care. I'm not even dry. I have on sweats and sliders, right? I got my food. I didn't even eat in my room. I was going to eat, you know, in the concert because I'm thinking other people are going to have food, obviously. Why is it I got in there? You can't eat in there. I mean, you can, but there is no way to eat in there. I mean, first of all, the seats are super small. They're like for like high school people, elementary school people. I mean, like they're super small. You're sitting on top of each other. You know, there's no way to eat. I don't even get it. And so I come in, I go in there and the ticket lady, she's like, oh man, I got you a really good seat. And I had been complaining because I had been standing in this line a long time. You know, there's people in front of me. They're taking forever. And there really were no tickets left. They just all the bad seats, you know. And these people taking forever, you know, trying to figure out where they want to sit. And I'm like, dude, just buy a ticket because every seat's bad at this point. Just buy a ticket. And I was saying this out loud. So they probably heard me. I don't know. And I think the ticket lady heard me because she goes, you know, I'm going to get you a really good seat. I'm going to get you a really good seat. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever you can do. Now I'm thinking I'm going to be down close to the floor. You know, when people say good seats, you know, that's what I think they mean. Child, I get there. I get my food. I go upstairs. You know, change into something very, very comfortable. I come back downstairs with my food, thinking I'm going to eat, watch this show. I go into the main area. I'm way up at the top in the middle of the row. Now, I don't do the middle at all because I just don't. And so I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. Oh, my God. And, you know, I'm like, okay. So I go and I get my seat. I sit down. You know, everybody's touching each other because the seats are just that small. And I'm like, okay, just try to make it work. So the girl on the left of me, she's like, oh, you bought food for us? I'm like, yeah, nah, not even funny. So I didn't even try to eat. I just had my food there. So the show started. I'm telling you, Shantae was phenomenal. I mean, it was, but you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of every single live band I've ever been to. It was not, if I had to compare her show and Tamar's show, like Tamar's show was like, it was a performance. It was a performance. It was a concert. Shantae Moore's show was like a band. It was like a live band. Like you go have steak somewhere and you have the live band playing. That's how it was. Now they're both performing, but it really is a difference. And I wonder if that plays a part in how far someone goes in that industry. Because when I'm watching, and you know, maybe she's just resigned, because there were things she said throughout the concert, like, I've never won a Grammy, you know, I keep doing this because y'all keep coming out to see me, and that's why I do this, and this is part of my testimony, or this is part of my journey, my destiny, blah, blah, blah. That's what she's saying. But I'm wondering, though, has that always been her level of performance, or is she resigned to it because she feels as though, okay, I'm not going to get any further than where I'm at, so this is what it is. I don't know, but there was clearly there was a difference. And I'm not saying because of course they're different people, but I'm saying you could, a live band playing, just doing like a live set, is different than a concert, than a performer at a concert. It's different. And so, anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm taken back to when I used to go see live bands like every night when I was like 20, 21, 22. Every night I would just see band after band after band after band, you know. So while I've never been to a concert, I've seen I don't know how many live bands, right, perform. And so it takes me back immediately, you know. And so I'm like 22, whatever, you know, listening to these, you know, this live band. And I'm like really feeling it. And now I'm like, man, I wish I was closer to the front so I can really like get into it because, you know, I'm a musician and I appreciate good music, good talent, right? How about the girl on the left of me started coughing? She just coughing, just coughing. And I'm like, we are too close for all this. And it'd be different if it was one cough or two coughs. But I mean, she just had like this fit and she's trying to cover her mouth. She's doing the best she can, but she's coughing. And this is a lot of people, and I don't care what nobody say, COVID has not gone away, and there are other variants as well. And I had said I was going to mask up, but I didn't. And, you know, it was too close. It was too close. And so then the girl on the right of me started coughing and sneezing. And I said, I can't do this. I cannot. So I got up, and I left the row, I went all the way down and I spoke to one of the usher people and I said, listen, I cannot sit up there where I bought the ticket because they are sneezing and coughing and I need to spread out. I can't sit up there. I can't. It's too much going on up there. And she goes, well, I said, I've noticed over there in the corner, there is nobody sitting there. We are 30 minutes into the show. Obviously, I mean, and it's like two whole rows, those people not coming. Now, let me say this. Shantae's show was packed. And though technically it wasn't sold out, those two rows, I mean, they were bad seats. Like, there was an obstruction. You could see if you like moved around and stood up and all that. But they were bad seats, and it was like two rows. And so all of the space was taken but those two rows, and then there was like a little bitty row way up, way down at the front, but it was like in the corner. It was really in the corner. And so it was a pretty solidly packed show, you know. Anyway, I said, those two rows up there. Those two rows, there's nobody up there. And she goes, ma'am, those are bad seats. I said, mm-mm. I'm fine with it. She said, you want to sit there, right? But you won't be able to see. I said, I'll be able to see. Because they had screens. And I mean, at this point, you know, you're so far up. And this is why I never really tried to go see concerts anyway. Because you're so far up, you're looking down, and it's like, I mean, you know, you're looking down and they're like little bitty people. You can't really see their facial expressions or anything like that. You have to look at the screens, right? Anyway. And so I'm like, no, there's screens right there. I have a few, like a clear view of the screen. I can stand up and look down. I'm good. I'd rather sit up there. So she let me sit up there and, you know, I'm sure the people that I was sitting around, I'm sure they looked at me and thought I was crazy. I don't care. I was not staying down, staying up there where they were. I just wasn't. Anyway, her show was good. I took bunches. I took tons and tons of photos, sent them to my sister, you know, as a flex, you know, because I'm really not into that. You know what I also noticed is that as soon as, right before the show started, there's like this announcement board, and it clearly said, please no photos and no video. So how about as soon as that announcement board went off, people started taking photos and lights that like your camera light, they started turning on the little lamp lights and started shooting video. And I'm like, what? Don't nobody pay attention? So I started shooting photos, but I only did it because, as a flex, you know, because I wanted to send it to my sister, you know. And but I, out of respect, I did not take any video at all of her or Tamar at all, out of respect. So anyway, the show was phenomenal, you know, and she, there was a time I did disconnect though, just because, you know, energy was kind of way, and I had all this food. I didn't even eat, like when I moved, I ate the fries real quick, but I had burger and fries and like a shake. I couldn't eat the burger there. Even when I moved up to that row by myself, I just ate the fries real quick and I drank that shake cause it was gonna melt, you know? But, you know, I didn't have a shake. I had an orange drink, a soda, and I drank that, but I didn't eat that burger. I waited until I got back to the room after the show and ate that burger. But anyway, so, you know, I'm watching her and she's phenomenal, right? And she has this one song where she whistles like for the entire song. And it was so powerful. And I have no idea I don't know if she was praying. I don't know what she was communicating, but she was communicating something and it was powerful. And it was probably the best part of the show. The show was good, but that was the best part of the show. So took a lot of photos, went ate my burger, went to bed, got up the next day, got ready to, you know, do Tamar's show. Her meet and greet was like at 5:30 or something like that. I still hadn't received any information about it. And I ended up running into one of her, one of the background singers, but I guess he also acts as an assistant. So I ran into him and I was like, hey, I know who you are. I'm here to see the show. But I didn't get any information about the meet and greet, which I paid for. And so, you know, he helped me out with that for the most part. And then I get back on the elevator and then I run into her personal assistant. I didn't speak to him because I'm not I'm not like a fan. I admire her music and I admire the fact that she, you know, had this, you know, she's, you know, making this business work. But I'm not a fan. So I, you know, and I only spoke to the guy. I ran into him at the coffee. It was a Starbucks stand. I only spoke to him really because I needed to know about the meet and greet because I paid for it, you know, and I couldn't get any answer anywhere else. So anyway, so I ran into him. I didn't say anything. So I go up to my room, whatever, but find out that some of her, I don't know if it was all of the background singers or some of the background singers or whatever, but they were on the floor below me, right below me. And it may not have been in the actual room right directly below me, but definitely within three rooms, you know, on either, well, one room on either side. So either they were in the same room right below me or one to the left or one to the right. How do I know this? Because I'm getting on my socials because I'm always on my socials and I'm scrolling. And one of his background singers posted the view outside. Okay. And I said, wait a minute. And I was thinking that it was my video. And I was like, wait, I didn't post this. the reason why I was thinking it was mine, because remember, I got there the day before. And as soon as I got to the hotel room, which I never do, but this was just a time of first. So, you know, I get into the hotel room and I start videotaping all of the room. You know, like I go into the bathroom and I shoot the bathroom, and then, you know, all the space that, you know, I'm in, and I'm making this video for my sister, you know, cause again, flexing. And so I go out, I go to the window, or it's like this long wall full of windows. And so I'm filming and I'm like, see, look, there's the snow. And then look at this and look at that and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm filming like from one side of the wall, from one end of the wall to the other end of the wall. And it's all windows, you know. And so I'm filming the whole thing, the whole length. So when I saw that on my socials, I knew like where they were because of the video that I had shot the day before. So it was real interesting, but, you know. I ran into several of them, did not run into Tamar, but I wasn't, you know, wasn't trying to. I was in the room, child, had my feet up, and I was tired. Anyway, did the meet and greet, that was cool, and then came back. I went, and I had on a little outfit, you know, because you kind of want to dress up a little bit, but see, I'm just too casual. And I am too pragmatic. And so I was like, man, okay, first of all, it's not like I'm here on a date. It's just me. That's the first thing. Secondly, even if I was, it's just me. Third, I don't know any of these people. So why am I trying to, I mean, I'm not trying to dress to impress for nobody. My back is killing me. My feet hurt. I mean, my whole body hurts and I'm tired. I think I'm going to put on some sweats and my sliders. So for this next concert, again, I had on a pair of sweats and my sliders. And yeah, I watched the show and I told y'all, I had seen her show. Like I knew everything that was going to happen because I've seen the show now, what, 10, 12 times? Because it's on YouTube or whatever. So I know all of the choreography. I know everything, right? But her show was phenomenal. The energy was so, like, it's something when you go to a show. Let me say this. I think what she has is she has a cult following. That's not saying anything bad. What I mean by that is, like, you're going to have, let's take Beyonce's concert. You're going to have some diehard Beyonce fans, and then you're going to have some people that's going to go because they were invited. And then you're going to have some people that are going to go because that may be the thing to do. And then you're going to have some people that go because they like her music well enough and they like going to concerts and, you know, and so she's a concert that they will attend, you know. But with Tamar's show, I think these are people that are fans. Like if this is a Tamar show, these people are fans. Like these people, it's more, there may have been a few people there that were invited there and they could take it or leave it. But for the most part, I would say 85 to 90% of those people, they were like diehards. They were fans. So the energy was just different, you know? I mean, and you couldn't help but to be caught up in it, you know? So it was fun. You know, I didn't think I was singing out loud. I did. I danced. I didn't think I would do that. It was fun. It really was. And then, you know, she called some people up as she normally do to sing, you know, what she called the anthem, the Tamartian anthem, which is Love and War. She calls. And what was funny? So I was very meticulous and particular when I was picking out my tickets for the Tamar show. So I knew I had bad tickets for Shantae. But I thought that I had pretty good tickets because I picked out the ticket for Tamar's show. How about I'm still in the middle? I thought I picked an in seat, but it was, I don't know, it was kind of numbered weird. I don't know. So I still ended up in the middle. And I'm like, oh no. And so I'm in the middle, but there is a guy and his friend that's on the left of me. I mean, on the right of me, but nobody yet on the left of me, right? There was an open seat. Then some people came and they happened to be sitting on the right of me, but there's still an open seat right next to me on the left, I think. Yeah. And so there were the two guys on the right of me, right? And so, you know, I was kind of talking to them a little bit, but not a lot, you know, whatever. And so kind of like in the middle of the show, they get up and they leave. And I'm like, huh? But it was cool because now I got the space by me, which was great because, you know. And so they go down and I find out that they are part of the singing the Tamartian anthem. One of the guys didn't do too well, but there was a skinny guy and a heavy set guy. The skinny guy didn't do too well, but the heavy set guy really, he did really well, really well. So after the show, you know, I was just kind of, you know, just kind of hanging out. And so, I saw the two guys. And so I went up to him and I was like, I talked to the heavy set guy and I was like, man, you did really well, you know. You really did well. Do y'all do music? You know, just kind of, you know, just checking out, seeing what was what, you know. And honestly, I forgot his name. His friend's name was Joseph. That's all I remember. But I make my way back. Oh, on the way back, one of the opening acts, she really was on one of Tyler Perry's movies. But I don't remember her. Even now, I don't remember her. But she was, I guess, one of the little girls that was singing. And so she's a grown woman now. And so she was one of the opening acts. And she did really well. And so I ran into her on the way to the elevator. And I was like, hey, I didn't know who you were. But you did really well. I'm really glad I saw you. And she's like, oh, yeah. So, you know, there were good things. Actually, the whole thing was great. I saw the opening acts. One act didn't do so well, but this girl did really well. And although she still, you could tell she was green, but if she keeps doing it, she's going to be, I mean, the voice is there. She just, the stage presence, is coming. It's coming. The stage presence is coming. It was good, but you could tell she's still very new. You know, but she was good. And, you know, and then of course, you know, the show, Tamar show, and what I recall, you know, I look at both the shows again, you know, Shantae Moore's and Tamar's show. And, you know, Tamar's show was not like, it wasn't perfect. Like there was some missteps, there was some missed notes even. No, it wasn't perfect. No performance is perfect, you know. But the performance, though, is like she never got out of character. She stayed there. She stayed locked in. The performance was phenomenal. I was very, very, very impressed. I mean, I don't know if I, you know, expected anything less, but I was really impressed. And, you know, she's definitely a performer. Definitely very, very dramatic. But I, you know, all in all, two great shows, two very different shows. Glad I got to see them both. So yeah, that was my trip, to Detroit. Now, I said I was going to mention, I was going to talk about one last thing. It's coming up on, well, I'm not going to tell you how long, you know how long I've been talking, but I want to talk about one last thing. And that is, so I listened to You know, I'm always in my socials and I'm scrolling and I see this clip about this lady going off. She's a songwriter and, you know, she posts that she didn't get her royalties and that, you know, the artist should, you know, not steal from, you know, writers from creatives because they work hard and they know that this and that and blah, blah, and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so, somebody co-signed it. And I said, well, you know, could it be that just like you're being taken advantage of, maybe they're being taken advantage of also? So, because how many artists have you heard of that, you know, they go into these deals and they're not making any money at all and they have to go tour just to make money? I said, instead of you guys, you know, instead of y'all complaining, why not figure out a way to connect with the artists because they're getting the raw end of the deal as well? Y'all come together and y'all try to figure out how to take down the machine. You know, I mean, duh, you know, because why would the artist, let's just think about this for a moment. Why would they, if they are fighting for to try to get their piece of the pie, they're not concerned about you. They're concerned about them. Let's just be honest about it. They're concerned about trying to get more of the pie, just like you or the writer's trying to, the writer's not, you know, fighting for the artist, you know, but they want the artist to fight for them. Why don't y'all come together? You know, and he goes, well, you know, such and such, they know. Now, they mentioned Beyonce. And Beyonce is a little different because Beyonce has some power, okay? And she's connected or married to someone who has some power. So that's a little different. But your average artists don't have any power, okay? They're at the whim of the record label, you know? And so they're not going to be concerned about you getting the writers getting their credits because they're more so concerned about them getting their portion. You know, I don't see why that's hard to understand, you know. And instead of just like these artists, they sign these crazy deals so they can be seen. These writers sign these crazy deals so that they can be heard or their songs can be heard. So why not? And this whole thing, well, you know, things are purposely done to us. Okay, well then take yourself out of that equation and build something for yourself. And it's not that it's easier said than done because people do it all the time. Musicians do it. Writers do it all the time. Writers come in with a publishing deal all the time. Just admit that you walked into a situation and you decided to exist in that situation or accept the situation because you wanted something out of the deal. And now let's think about it though. So writers say, well, I'm not getting any of my publishing. Okay. Well, then why would you sell it over? Why wouldn't you just move on? Now all of a sudden you have all of this bravado. I can just take my music somewhere. That's what one chick said. I can just take my stuff somewhere else. Well, then why didn't you do that? You know, and at this point, you know, this day and age, I mean, it's too much knowledge out there. No, you wanted to be seen and heard. And instead of you saying, you know what, that was jacked up, but that's part of the game back then, but this is how I'm going to move now. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you have something to say. Now you want to reach back 10 years ago and somebody ripped you off when, in all honesty, because you sit down and you sign a contract. Now you are, and these contracts are bad contracts, but you have, nobody put a gun to your head. You have a, you do have a choice. It may not be the choice that you want, or the decision that you want to be faced with, or the choice that you want to be faced with, you know, or that you want to have to make, but you do have a choice. And to sit here and to blame anybody else because they're going through their thing too, you know, why not? See, this is what I'm saying. You know, I cut for anybody that say, you know what, I'm not going to be part of the system. I may not blow up, you know, like, you know, whoever else, but at least I have my own. You know, I cut for people like that. You sit there and you you go into these bad deals and then you blame everybody else because you signed your name. And even if you didn't sign your name or whatever, you say, well, this was stolen from me. Okay, chalk it up as that's part of the game, because we know that's part of the game. And then put yourself in a better position to not get stolen from, period. But this whole, you know, such and such and such did this to me and that to me, when, you know, a lot of times many of those acts, they barely scraping by themselves. They have to live on the road. What does that tell you? I mean, come on. They have to live on the road. You have to live in the studio. There's something wrong with the system. So instead of fighting each other, fight the system. That is my whole point. Anyway, that applies, you know, to any industry or whatever. You know, there is too many tools, too much knowledge and access to knowledge to, you know, if you go into a bad deal, even if you get stolen from, you know, you have to know that the system is designed to be that way. Now, your challenge is to figure out how to prevent it from happening again. If you get caught up. Right. This whole whining and I'm just not in for that. I'm solutions oriented. I don't like the whole whining thing. I don't like this did this to me and that to me, whatever. I'm not. And that, and I know I can hear some people saying, but you are a proponent of reparations. I am. I sure am. Because that is rightful income monies that's owed, that's been owed to us, because you still have people that are living off of this system. So, and this is like a blatant mistreatment of a group of people. So yes, I'm proponent of reparations all day, every day. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The difference is you can create your own publishing company. You can create your own production company. Okay. You can figure out, you know, go into a publishing deal where you can retain more of your publishing rights. If you sign a bad deal, you signed a bad deal. Period. End of discussion. You know, if you, if you got stolen from because you trusted someone, well, that's still your issue, because, you know, this is business and not everybody is going to operate with a level of integrity. So you chalk it up to, you know what? I made a bad business decision in trusting ABCD. Now I'm going to move this way, period. So anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest, get this whole, all of this off my chest. Well, the Detroit thing wasn't, you know, I just said I was going to talk about it. So I talked about it, but yeah, the whole John Snyder situation, I mean, that's just, I mean, he was just trash for saying that. And I hope that he realizes that it's trash, and I hope that weighs on him. I hope he feels convicted by that, because that was not cool. And forget that it's Beyonce. It just wasn't cool. And he needs to feel that wasn't cool. And I mean, feel convicted, not don't go out there, do nothing crazy. Okay. And then, you know, these writers, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, the industry, TV writers. I don't know anything about that industry. Okay. I'm talking about these songwriters, because I do know something about that industry. Okay. And, I don't care what they say, it does work a little differently. And, we got to figure out how to gain our power and walk in our power and stop blaming everybody else and start looking at how we contributed to, the bad decision or the bad outcome. You know, what did you do? Okay. What did you do that resulted in this bad outcome? Okay. It's been fun, y'all, but I gotta run. Okay. So until next time, bye. Listen, we are on all your favorite podcast platforms, iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. Listen, whatever your favorite podcast platform is, we're probably on it. So make sure you check us out. And also, if there's a way to rate us, make sure that you give us a 5-star rating. We will love to keep pushing out good content. So we need for you to support us with those ratings. And make sure that you like, follow, and share, okay? Because it doesn't help if nobody knows we're out there. So make sure that you follow us and make sure that you share that we're out there giving out this good tea, all right? And listen, until the next time we meet, until the next time we sit down at this table, keep the conversations going.